Hey everybody, welcome to the program. We are talking today with Susan Bowman, one of the founding members of the nonprofit group Cape Bonner County Rural. You know, our goal here is their goal is to maintain the remaining rural character of Bonner County. Bonner County commissioners, sometimes we can think, cater to land developers rather than the local community, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Where is that balance between healthy growth and growth that really pushes our infrastructure and pushes us around a little bit? So this is an important show today with information you or someone you know may need, and you may want to be involved in this effort, and you may want to be more aware of what the issues are. So my name is Barbara, and we're going to get to the details of all of this with our guest Susan Bowman right after this.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
Grunberg Sloss Collector's Cabinet has added ReadyWise Survival and Emergency Foods to their line of food and storage supplies. They also feature preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, plus ammo and knives. And, of course, Grunberg Sloss carries U.S. and world coins, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5, located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg Sloss Collector's Cabinet.
If you have roots in your old sewer line or leaks in your underground water pipes, North Point Trenchless can replace those pipes without expensive trenching. Their patented Trenchless device is mounted inside the crawl space or under the house, creating a new pipe to the city connection. Landscaping, decks, and driveways are all spared from disaster. Call for a free inspection and estimate, 208-304-5712, or check them out on Facebook. If you're having underground pipe problems, don't tear up your trees or driveway. Call North Point Trenchless, 208-304-5712.
Hi, this is Lauren.
And Eve.
With Knutson Chevrolet.
Come on in now for Knutson's Spring Into Savings event, where we have our biggest selection of Chevy Silverados, Tahoes, Suburbans, and Colorados of the year.
We have a brand new 2022 Chevy Equinox all-wheel drive for only $27,471, one at this price.
Or this new 2022 Chevy Silverado Crew Cab 4x4 RST Z71, former service loaner, for only $48,630. That's 10% off MSRP, plus tax and fees.
Knutson Chevrolet is your family-owned, family-operated dealership since 1939 that puts customer service above all else.
Visit Knutson.com to schedule your at-home test drive and purchase your next vehicle online using ShopClickDrive.
Find new roads at Knutson Chevrolet.
Minutes west of Coeur d'Alene, just a short drive east of Spokane at 1900 East Polston Avenue, Post Falls.
Knutson Chevrolet, hard to say, easy to save.
Would you know what to do in a poison emergency? Would you know whom to call? Well, the answer is Poison Help. 1-800-222-1222. Poison Help is a 24/7 government hotline staffed by poison experts. It's free to call and available in over 100 languages. Every second counts in a poison emergency. Don't waste it wondering who to call. Save Poison Help in your phone today. 1-800-222-1222.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
Hey everybody, come on back in and say hello and welcome to Susan Bowman from the Keep Bonner County Rural. All right, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi Barbara, thanks for having me today. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. Well, let's get started. I'd like you to first tell our audience about the Keep Bonner County Rural Organization. When was it started and what are the main goals?
Yeah, so Keep Bonner County Rural, which we also refer to as KBCR, it was started about a year ago, almost to the day, really. And what it was just this organic forming of people from the community that were really concerned about the development and how quickly it was happening and how it was happening. So nobody really remembers who invited whom to this meeting at Connie's. So all of a sudden I found myself at this lunch at Connie's, and there were about 20 people there, of which about 15 continued on to start Keep Bonner County Rural. And so at that organic meeting, we all just decided that we had to do something, because you can't just completely sit there all day and say, this is terrible, and do nothing. So this was an action-oriented group. And from that sprang an actual organization, and now we have about 3,000 people that we regularly communicate with in the county that have signed our petition to keep Bonner County Rural. We have 15 voting members and 5 board members and about 200 email contacts. So that's basically the organization. I am a planning consultant for Keep Bonner County Rural. So I'm not a board member, and I've been a planner for about 20 years. So I think it's important to have a planner basically on Keep Bonner County Rural, because planning it can get pretty esoteric and very complicated. So yeah, so that's basically how we formed, and we've been going at it for about a year.
All right. So if people have picked up now, Susan Bowman, you are married to David Bowman, who ran recently for county commissioner here in the county. He was not elected. However, he did have a pretty good showing with the vote count. And this Keep Bonner County Rural was one of the main parts of his platform. So speaking to the issue of his platform and the goals and objectives of Keep Bonner County, you know, one of the things I want to say, and I was just talking to someone, Susan, about this, you know, we all kind of have our little paths that we drive on. We tend to shop in certain areas and visit friends, and that puts us on certain county roads and out and about. I don't know how many people just go on driveabouts, but a friend was out driving about. She could not believe these areas with building and development going on that she had no idea was going on. It's like it's happening on under the radar, so to speak, but not under your radar. So our purpose today is to help people understand this is a real issue that we are facing. So let's talk about, before we get to solutions and what you want to affect in county government and at the state level too, let's talk about what the problems are. Where are the problems? Where are the issues that are going on in Bonner County today with regard to growth that in some people's opinion may be kind of out of control?
Yeah, that's a good question. The mission of Keep Bonner County Rural is to try to get the county commissioners to cease rubber stamping higher density development that is not allowed by our zoning code and is not allowed by our comprehensive plan. So we're basically just trying to get them to follow our comp plan and zoning code. And there's a lot of folks out there that want to create this mythology that Keep Bonner County Rural is trying to take people's property rights away, and nothing could be further from the truth. So I want to get that in there, that we would like people, we know that building is going to come, development is going to come, you cannot stop it. People do have the right to build to their particular zone, their designation that their property is zoned as. They have the right to do that, and we would never want to stop anybody from doing that. But what we are seeing, and the reason that that we formed, is because the county commissioners are going above and beyond what is allowed. So I think it's good to back up a little bit here and talk a little bit about planning in general, just so we have a bit of education to start this. So we start with the comprehensive plan. And the comprehensive plan is the vision of the people. Okay, the people come together with the government and they say, this is how we want our land to be utilized. It's not the law, but it is the vision. So that's why I like planning, by the way. It's the one area of government where you can actually affect your government by getting involved in that process. From that comprehensive plan, planners will take that. They also take a lot of data, based on 17 different elements that are required to be looked at in the comprehensive plan. And then they create the zoning code. The zoning code is the law. So that's what I want to get across to people today, is that the zoning code and the zoning map, which draws the zoning lines, that is law.
So what happens is the county commissioners are actually empowered to make exceptions to that law. They can say, even though this is the plan and therefore the zoning code that has resulted, we're going to, in this case, change that. We're going to give a variance, or we're going to rezone it, correct?
Right. So, yeah, it's not a variance. It is a rezone. So what they're saying, what the county commissioners are doing is they're saying, hey, if you come in and you ask to rezone your property to a higher density, and in many cases, that's going to be doubling, tripling, or quadrupling the allowed density. All you have to do is fill out an application form, and basically they're going to give it to them. They have denied only one, and that was probably because of the tremendous outpouring of people saying, we don't want this.
Do you have an idea of how many rezones have been done? And if this might be a difficult statistic to grab a hold of, but if all the zoning that has been rezoned was left X amount of population, that zoning allowed for, let's say, 10,000 people, and all of these rezones happen now allows for 32,000. Do you have those numbers on the population allowance of the rezones?
We don't. We would love to get that data, and the county doesn't even have that data. They have no idea how many lots they're creating above and beyond what the law allows them to create. And that is something that I think they should study, not us. We have, you know, basically we have about six people that do all the work, and it's all volunteer.
It's always that way.
Yeah, but I would have a shout out to Project 7B, who has done some work around that. And they have some videos and such that you could watch that would show you some of that data, but nobody has gathered the data on how much extra density they're adding right now.
Exactly. What we've moved from X to Y. I want to go back and underline something that you said earlier on, because I want our listeners to hear this. You talked about the whole push in this, to my ears, is balance. Like, yes, property rights are important. If you're zoned in an area that allows for, 5 acre or 3 acre or whatever it is, then yes, you have that right to develop it to that allowance. And the other thing I want people to hear is that, yes, development does create growth and jobs and money to the community, but we have to balance those issues with the environment that we have and the beauty that we want to preserve.
Yes. So one of the reasons we formed is because of that, right? Because we want to keep what's called rural character. Mm-hmm. And rural character means you're going to see hay fields and cows. And, you know, there are going to be places that are a little bit more dense, right? That have even condos and that sort of thing. But for the majority of the people in this county, they want to see it rural. And that means you have to maintain larger lot sizes, the 20s and the 40s and the 10s. And what the commissioners are trying to do is take everything to a minimum of 5. But they're doing it in an unfair way, which is if you come and fill out an application, then you can have the zoning that you want. But other people that aren't filling out the application, they don't get that. So the whole thing's completely unbalanced, not fair. And what Keep Bonner County Rural is hoping to do is to make that fair, keep that balanced. And really, it comes down to making the commissioners follow the comprehensive plan and the zoning code. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, I have a really tough question for you. Right now, we've got two county commissioners that are essentially lame ducks. They one is retiring from office, and the other commissioner was defeated in the primary. And so, but they serve and have authority until next January, until the two new commissioners are sworn in. So how much power do you think, or how much influence can the community exert on them to stand back from, in as lame ducks, making a lot of these, really critical decisions?
Yeah, that's a very good question. We've given a lot of thought to that. And to be honest with you, they don't care. They haven't cared for the whole year we've been doing this. They have some kind of, I don't know why they're doing this, why they're taking that power that they can take and using it for the bad instead of the good. So the people are saying, I mean, we've come out in droves. We've packed the rooms, right? Yep. And they still vote against the people and what the people want and what the comp plan says.
Sometimes they voted against what the Planning Commission and Zoning Commission recommended.
Exactly. Yeah. So they clearly are not working for the people, and they're not going to be doing that for the next, you know, 8 months or however long they're in office. And actually what they've done is, because Keep Bonner County Rural has been pushing and pushing on them, Dan McDonald in particular, I would say, has set up this scenario by splitting up the Planning and Zoning Commission, and he put his code amendment before our code amendment, which we can talk about a little bit later, but I would say that he set it up so that he can kind of churn and burn this stuff before he gets out. There isn't really, honestly, anything we can do besides take them to court over and over and over again, and that would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, which we don't have. So I think we're going to have to sit there and watch them do this while they're in office, and fight them where we can with the resources that we have, which are few, and just do our best until they get out.
Even though you have packed the room, I don't know that you've packed the alleyways and the streets that surround the room. Do you think that if there is a call to, I almost say call to arms, and you guys know I'm not talking about guns, okay? Do I have to say that? Where you call people out to come to these, the meetings that are coming up, and really more than overwhelm them with community response, would they respond to that at least a little bit?
Well, I haven't seen that so far. I really don't think even if we had a line down the road, they're still going to vote the same way they're voting. And that much is clear, because they've made it clear also in their deliberations. When they deliberate, even though they could have 4 hours of testimony of people that are citing the code, people that are pouring out their emotion, people that are telling them what they want.
The majority of the people there.
Vast majority of the people there. And they still vote against the people over and over, using really their own emotion.
Yeah. Another area, I've heard county commissioners say that they're really only following the law, that so much of what you're calling a rezone, it's not a rezone, it's just simply allowing the owner to do what they're allowed to do. How do you respond to that?
We've responded to that several times, and what we've seen is that they start changing their story. So Dan McDonald in particular started out with this whole idea that he has to vote for rezones because the Constitution guarantees freedom of movement. So we dispelled that myth, and then he moves on to the next myth and the next myth and the next myth. Here's the problem with zoning law. It can be interpreted in certain ways. Now, I look at the code, and with my years of experience, and I just can't see it any other way. So I don't know why the planning staff is citing against the people as well, but I can't read that code any other way. And several people agree with me. But what I would say is that the current commissioners have decided what they're going to do. They do have the power. See, that's where the issue lies, is they have the power to do that. And so they're taking that power and saying, we don't care what you say, people, and we don't care what the zoning code says.
Or we care, but we disagree.
Maybe.
Yeah. Looking forward then to the two new commissioners that will be sworn in January, Luke Ahmet and Asia Williams. Do you see changes on the horizon with those two commissioners now being seated?
I know that Asia will affect change. She has been one of our members. She's a voting member, which she probably won't be once she's, you know, because that'd probably be a conflict of interest, but that's up to her. So Asia has been at a lot of the meetings. I believe that she got elected in large part because she is out there advocating for the people all the time. And that much is clear. And Luke is a wild card. I don't want to talk bad about Luke. Luke's a good man. He would not speak to rezones. in several forums he was asked, and he would not say that he is against them. So I don't know where he stands. I know that he says he is for the Quad Cities. That is the opposite of keeping Bonner County rural. So that's a wild card, and I can't really say.
I know that he has responded to the rezone issue, maybe not rezone, but the kind of the general question in that area about a density, with the idea of it's case by case, and you know he can't make sweeping statements and has to consider all the everything.
That's what the current commissioners say as well.
Exactly. It's case by case. All right. We are incredibly up against our first break. We're going to take it right now. We have a lot more coming your way. We hope you'll stay tuned.
Need reliable internet at an amazing price? Ziply Fiber has reliable internet starting at just $20 a month. Only fiber internet offers equally fast upload and download speeds. You'll enjoy reliable, smooth family video calls or work from home. Plus, you can get a $20 a month one-time introductory price for the first 12 months with no annual contracts. And the first month internet service is free. Visit ziplyfiber.com or call 1-866-MY-ZIPLY to see if fiber internet is available at your home. That's ziplyfiber.com.
And now, the marvelous, world-famous magician, Marvin the Magnificent.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may have seen me sawing a person in half, or stood by while I was shot from a cannon. But you have yet to see me turn this card into huge amounts of cash. That's because it isn't a trick. It's the Royal Card Scratch Games from the Idaho Lottery. Pick a card, any card, for the chance at unbelievable prizes up to $300,000. Benefiting Idaho public schools and buildings. Must be 18 or older. Play wise.
It's time now for the pet case of the day.
Hi, this is Dr. Don Mara from North Idaho Animal Hospital. I'd like to share a story about a loyal 12-year-old golden retriever named Sage. Chuck said the signs were subtle. She walked stiffly now and seemed a little mopey these days. Even her appetite was off. X-rays revealed osteoarthritis. It takes a lot for a stoic Labrador to become symptomatic, and we took her subtle signs as a cry for help. Sage was placed on a strict weight reduction diet and sent home with strong medication and joint supplements. Within 3 days, she was better than normal. Chuck said she was acting like a puppy again and thanked us genuinely. As caretakers of our voiceless companion animals, we strive to effectively alleviate pain and suffering in all cases. North Idaho Animal Hospital offers a variety of products and services, including various anti-inflammatories, pain medications, joint supplements, acupuncture, and nutritional consultations.
Every day, Mark fights retinitis pigmentosa, a blinding retinal disease. But even while his vision is taken, his family gives him hope. Because whether he's helping run their business or enjoying time at home with his wife and sons, Mark knows he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding diseases, providing real hope to those fighting vision loss. And our nationwide community of local chapters provides networking and support for people with vision loss, as well as their loved ones. Because the best way to fight against blinding diseases is to fight together. And for Mark, winning the fight against vision loss means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Learn more about how you can help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
KBFI, KSPT, North Idaho's radio.
Hey, everybody, here we are. We're talking with Susan Bowman with Keep Bonner County Rural. We've got it going on here today for you. And listen, I want to go down a little rabbit trail. Last week, I talked to Sandy Frank from Bonner General Health. She was just so awesome. We were all over diabetes. And she gave us this little algorithm, if you will, this formula 5-2-1-0, 5-2-1-0, five fruits and vegetables, heavy on the veggies, 2 hours of screen time. Oh my gosh, I break that every day between my computer and my phone and TV, but I try to really limit. So 2 hours of screen time, especially for the kiddos, 1 hour of exercise and zero sugar. Can you do that? Can you do that? I'm just challenging all of you. Sandy was so great, and that was one of the things she emphasized, because you can do these things, and it's easy to remember. 5-2-1-0. All right. Welcome back in, Susan Bowman with Keep Bonner County Rural. Let's talk right now about some of the hot button issues. Where are some of the areas that we need to be concerned about, that where decisions are coming up?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I wanted to first of all mention that even though our mission is to stop the rezones in particular, we do help other folks around the community with their planning issues. So I just want to have a shout out to the Arns about the Camp Bay. We have been a little bit involved with the Camp Bay issue. And we don't need to get into that, but that's where the road was given away. And then also the Sagal Asphalt Plant with Jonna Plant, we have been a little bit involved with that. So those folks are heading those, but we lend a hand where we can. And then there's a new issue coming up with RV parks as affordable housing. And that one's happening down in the Blanchard Spirit Lake area. And so we will help folks take on their own issues. So those are three hot button issues going on now.
Having said that, how would someone out there listening that has some involvement in something, how do they connect with you to see if they can get your help, or they can come alongside you and help?
Yes. So all you have to do is send us an email at kbcr@mail.com. And so it's kbcr@mail.com. You can also go to our website, which is keepbonnercountyrural.org, just all one word, keepbonnercountyrural.org, and fill out a contact form there.
All right. So back to some of the upcoming issues that your organization is going to look at and rally the troops on.
Yeah. So the one that comes to mind first is the Skinner rezone. So that's the applicant. His name is Skinner. I think it's an LLC, actually, but he's the gentleman that has owned that property in the Selly Valley, and it's 714 acres. And he filled out an application to double his density. The density allowed there is 20-acre lots. And he decided that he wanted 10-acre lots because it used to be that at some point. That, by the way, is not how zoning works. Once the zoning changes, that is the zoning. And you don't just get to go back to the old zoning. Except the commissioners did vote to allow him to do that. Mm-hmm. So that would put a lot of pressure on the Selly Valley, and especially where in the area where that is, right on Colburn Culver Road. And so doubling the density there went from 35 lots. Now they can have 71 lots. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of lots in that area. And it's right across from a small school, which will undoubtedly get overloaded. So one of the things the commissioners are not looking at with the rezones are the public services. So when you double or even quadruple density, you need to look at how you're going to impact the services, because that's what you're supposed to provide as commissioners.
You know, I can't believe that we have to sit here and say this. I just cannot believe that the commissioners are not looking at traffic, water tables, school, meeting the needs of families that will be moving into these homes and educating their children, and other infrastructure issues. It just astounds me to hear you say they're just not looking at it. They're not talking about it. They're just full steam ahead. I can't believe it.
Yeah, that's why we formed. That's exactly why we formed. We couldn't believe it either.
But they've done this. So is that a done deal? 20 to 10?
So yeah. So how that is working. So let me just run you through how that worked. So first of all, the applicant came in and applied for that. We packed the room on that one. And they did pass it anyway. And then we basically appealed it. It's called a reconsideration. So KBCR appealed it. And a shout out to Christina Kingsland here, because she lives near there. And she got all of the neighbors to be what's called affected parties, because you can't really appeal something unless you have somebody that's affected by it. Mm-hmm. So she got most of the surrounding neighbors to this particular property to sign on to the appeal. And so we had so the commissioners said they would hear the appeal, the reconsideration, but Bill Wilson, the county prosecutor, I don't know why he advised this, but he advised them to, even though we had a 16-page appeal with a lot of different things in it, he advised the commissioners to only look at public services because that's in the Local Land Use Planning Act called LUPA. So they narrowed that reconsideration to this one issue, public services, but even in that narrowing of it, they still didn't get any data or analysis on public services. So their idea of getting data or analysis on public services is to send out a notice saying there's going to be a rezone in this area to these overloaded agencies. Like, think of fire departments and schools. They don't have time to look at this. That just, they don't, there's no information.
Or maybe even understand the impact.
They don't.
I mean, who in us, and I'm trying to think in a local school, even the school district administration, with all respect, that they would have time and the resources to figure out, you know, actuarially, if we go to 71 lots instead of 35 and X number of kids, and what does that mean 10 years down the road?
Exactly.
That's a lot of very specific expertise.
Yes. So that's supposed to be done by the planning department, not by these agencies.
Not by just people.
No.
Or
no.
Agencies.
So that's how they get out of it. I think the commissioners say, well, we sent out this notice and they knew about it and they don't have any comment. Therefore, it's not going to impact the services.
You know, that brings me to another question, Susan. Is there a cost to appeal? Like, they send a letter out if you want to appeal, and you do, and then to file that appeal costs X amount of money. How much, yes. What is that amount of money?
It's around $500.
Now, that to me, call me innocent, but there is a development that's been approved by the city of Sandpoint, where I live, and everybody in our neighborhood, we are impacted in lots of different ways. I won't go through the whole thing. And everyone sent letters and commented, and we were talking about traffic and turnaround space and on and on. And, of course, it was, I don't even know that, you know, it was just like a drop in the bucket. But I got a letter. Everybody got a letter, Susan, that said this planned neighborhood is moving forward. We have approved it. And if you want to appeal it, it's going to cost you $750. And I'm like, $750 to file an appeal? Are you kidding me? Nothing would, I mean, of course, that's going to discourage people.
Yeah, the deck is really stacked against the people.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Both the city of Sandpoint and the county, they have stacked the deck against the people.
They want to do what they want to do.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that's unfortunate, but that's how our local governments around here are operating. They're just going to go forward with whatever their plan is, ignoring what the people's plan is.
And I just want to say here, not to cast aspersions on every city council person or county commissioners or the boards and the planning and the volunteer people. But generally speaking, that seems to be what's happening. We have good people who serve.
Yes.
But we need to have all of the groups and all of the people who make these decisions be really sensitive to what the needs of the people are and to have a vision. How could you approve doubling the density in the Selly Valley for over 700 acres and not at the minimum level start talking about schools and water and roads and traffic and snow plowing and road maintenance and taxes? It's just astounding to me.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be a serious part of the discussion.
Yeah, and it wasn't in the Skinner rezone, to bring it back to that. So
yes.
when we went to the reconsideration hearing, we did try to, basically we hired a lawyer at that point to do the reconsideration for us, which was very expensive and basically drained our coffers. But what we came to the conclusion again is that they aren't going to do data. They aren't going to do analysis. That's what I'm used to as a planner, by the way, is all good planning is based on data and analysis. It's not based on feeling or emotion. You know, it's based on the code and it's based on data. So none of that is being done currently, and it wasn't done for the Skinner rezone. So we did a little bit of digging and a little bit of data analysis that we could, but we're just, you know, we we are just citizens, right? We don't have time to do that. And it is the planning department's job. So anyway, what ended up happening with the Skinner reconsideration is they did that kind of bare minimum again where, well, we sent out these, you know, these notices and nobody said anything. And then the like Fish and Game did write a good analysis back and they ignored that one, completely just ignored it. And then voted again, yes, to, you know, uphold the doubling of the density there. So just yesterday, we decided, the board decided of KBCR, Cape Bonner County Rural, decided to go ahead and move forward with a lawsuit. So we will be going to court and taking the county to court for that.
All right. Now, when will that, what would you anticipate being the time frame for walking that out?
So the decision was about a week ago. I think the official decision maybe a little bit longer ago, but you have 28 days to bring it to court. So in about 3 weeks, we'll be taking it to the court system. I don't know how long they have to decide it, but I think it's somewhere around 30 to 60 days that the court must make a decision. So that's going to be quite expensive. So we're going to have to do some fundraising between now and then.
All right. We'll talk about that in the next segment. Again, we are up against it. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we have a lot more conversation just for you.
Let thick and thin beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you. Spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantel, or desktop, or beams up to 44 feet long. Just about anything you can dream up, the guys at TNT can help design. For all your wood product needs, it's thick and thin lumber, fast, reliable service, and competitive pricing. See the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road, or check out their website at tntbeams.com.
Encoder Products Company is hiring full-time assemblers, no experience required. Build electronic devices at a seated workstation with no heavy lifting. Get great health insurance, a 401k with company match, and more. Hours are 7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Ask about our van share program and $250 signing bonus. A stable local company for over 50 years. Encoder is just 10 miles south of Sandpoint on Highway 95. Learn more at encoder.com.
Hi, this is Lauren.
And Eve.
With Knutson Chevrolet.
Come on in now for Knutson's Spring into Savings event, where we have our biggest selection of Chevy Silverados, Tahoes, Suburbans, and Colorados of the year.
We have a brand new 2022 Chevy Equinox all-wheel drive for only $27,471, one at this price.
Or this new 2022 Chevy Silverado Crew Cab 4x4 RST Z71, former service loaner, for only $48,630. That's 10% off MSRP, plus tax and fees.
Knutson Chevrolet is your family-owned, family-operated dealership since 1939 that puts customer service above all else.
Visit Knutson.com to schedule your at-home test drive and purchase your next vehicle online using ShopClickDrive.
Find new roads at Knutson Chevrolet.
Minutes west of Coeur d'Alene, just a short drive east of Spokane at 1900 East Polston Avenue, Post Falls.
Knutson Chevrolet, hard to say, easy to save.
Every 2 minutes, a woman in the U.S. is diagnosed with breast cancer. And in that split-second moment in time, her life changes forever. The toll of breast cancer is great. The need to support those who are battling the disease today is even greater. And that's why when others look away, Susan G. Komen leans in. We're fighting alongside patients because we know one moment can change a lifetime. Fighting breast cancer takes funding for research to discover the next new treatment, providing access to quality and affordable health care, and people willing to take action by raising funds and raising their voice to advocate for others. United by hope, we can end breast cancer. Join our fight. Save lives.
North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
All right, everybody, my name is Barbara, and we have it going on right here for you with Susan Bowman. She is a planner with the local nonprofit organization Keep Bonner County Rural. They have maybe 3,000 people on their mailing list that are interested in this, and you may be one. So, Susan, remind our listeners how they can get in touch with you, how they can volunteer, be involved, and maybe even donate.
Yeah, thanks, Barbara. So you could sign our petition on change.org. That's how we got the 3,000 folks involved. And you could also go to our website, which is keepbonnercountyrural.org, and you can submit a contact form there. You can also just send us an email at kbcr@mail.com.
So really, Google Keep Bonner County Rural, and it's all going to pop up, and you can get there and get the contact. Well, I was at your website, Susan, and you have a pretty bold statement there, and I'm going to read it for the audience. It says, "The Bonner County Commissioners cater to land developers rather than the local community. Help us," meaning help Keep Bonner County Rural, "to hold them accountable."
Yes, that is exactly what we're trying to do. And as I was speaking about before, they have continuously voted against the people. And we're seeing that we're kind of losing that battle. So one of the things that we did is, any citizen, by the way, can submit an amendment to the zoning code or to the comprehensive plan. That is allowed by the state law. And so we decided to just submit our own amendment to the code that would stop the commissioners from actually doing all of these rezones and doubling, tripling, and quadrupling the density. So we have been taking that through basically the process. The process is kind of long. Once we submitted that code amendment, they immediately followed up with submitting their own code amendment.
By the way, you submitted that code amendment November 2021.
Yes, exactly. And right after we submitted it, they've been trying to stop us at every turn. So right after we submitted it, they submitted their own so that they could take their, you know, ours. Theirs would basically really kind of nullify ours. So they were trying to stop us that way. When we got to our Planning and Zoning Commission hearing, suddenly there was some problem with our application, and so we couldn't have our hearing. And it wasn't, our lawyer advised us that that in fact was false. What they were telling us was a problem was not in fact a problem. So then what the Planning and Zoning Commission did, this is when they were still together, they fixed that. I really want to give them a shout out, the old Planning and Zoning Commission, because they offered us up a workshop. So instead of them deciding on, they couldn't decide on our application that day because the planning department said we messed up on our application, which we didn't. They said, come for a workshop. So that was great, because then we went to one workshop. We got a lot of good information from them, because honestly, as a planner, it's hard to be the only planner in the room, you know, writing a code amendment. Usually that's a collaborative effort. And so I did struggle with it a little bit. And Dave, my husband, helped me a lot. He kind of gets an honorary planning degree. but I would say that the Planning and Zoning Commission really helped us a lot. And we took even, you know, like I know the Lynn Scotts are not for what we're doing, but they were in the room, and we took some of what they recommended as well. We changed our code amendment 3 times. To fit what the people wanted, because even people from KBCR came and said, well, what about if we do this and what about if we do that? So our code amendment became this really good code amendment that had a lot of good input, had the collaborative effort that all code amendments should have. And then we're supposed to be taking that to the commissioners tomorrow, but we actually delayed it this time. And that is because we have some additional information that we would like to add into it.
Okay, so that will be coming up not at, it'll not be next week's meeting, it'll be the week after that?
No, we'll just, we have put it on hold until we can incorporate that new information into our code amendment. So it really is the best amendment that we can possibly have.
You know, speaking of putting something on hold, you know, it's probably unrealistic and not balanced to just stop all rezones. But I think it would be reasonable to ask our county commissioners to seriously slow down. They've done a lot of rezones. So I think, you know, they have affected a lot of developers. And by the way, I'm for developers. They have the right to develop. They have the right to make a profit, to make money, to do what they do. That's what they do. But it's up to our government and the people that the government represents to keep things balanced. I keep coming back to that. So maybe not stop rezones is what we want our county commissioners, but slow it down so that all of the issues of infrastructure, for example, and impact can be addressed. I don't think that's unreasonable, is it?
No, and that's exactly where we'd like to go. And by the way, I completely agree with you. We need developers. They build housing. We need housing. Mm-hmm. But we, like you were saying, we want it to be fair. We want it to be balanced. We want it to be per the code. Our code is good. Our comprehensive plan is good. It was made by people that knew what they were doing, and it is good. We just need to follow it. That's right. All. But what I would say is you're right. It probably isn't the best thing to stop all rezones, but they should be very rare. Mm-hmm. So just in my 19 years of planning, I've never done a rezone. Mm-hmm. So I worked in Western Washington, and there are about 30 years ahead in planning, not because the planning here is bad. The planners that do work here are good planners. It's just that all of that has been tested in the courts in Washington, right? Where it hasn't really been in Idaho. So I think we're going to see in the next years, because of the influx of people, that the courts are going to be testing this planning stuff a lot more. And that's probably where the balance is going to come. But I will tell you that our current code, the county code, doesn't have criteria, specific criteria for rezones. That is on purpose because it should be very, very rare. So that's what I would say about rezones. It would be great if we could sit down with the planning department, or that if the planning department decided to take a look at this together with the Planning and Zoning Commission and say, hey, when do we really want to approve rezones?
You know, I have lived in this area for many, many years, since 1985, and through the years from the county and also just being aware of the city, there have been all kinds of questionnaires and meetings and vision and all kinds of surveys. And every time, without exception, a main part of these surveys and visions is to keep this small town feeling, keep Sandpoint, keep it friendly, and keep us the rural flavor and character of the county, even as we grow. And to think that we have elected officials that seem to be going against that regularly without really looking at all these years, I can remember reports in the newspaper about how what the overwhelming idea was to keep it beautiful and to keep Sandpoint City beautiful and take care of City Beach. We are so blessed. We want to protect what we have.
Yes, that's exactly right. And what I would like to say about that is that there is no law that says we must invite massive growth. There is not a law that requires that we do that as a county or Sandpoint City. We don't have to do that. It is up to us. And that is what's so great about planning, is that planning is for the people. It should be. But what happens is, because it is very complex, I think what happens is that people get kind of bogged down with the zoning code and the comp plan and how they work together. And I think we need a little more education around that. But they know what they want. They know what they want. The people know what they want. So that's what I would say about it.
All right. Well, that is a good place to make that the final word. Susan Bowman, I just appreciate so much what you and your group are doing. I think it's very worthy. And I just like the reasonableness and the balance that you're bringing to it. If you would like to get involved in this, you can get in touch with Keep Bonner County Rural. You can go online and get all the information, the email, and how to be in touch with them to support support them to volunteer to donate. So that's it for today, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I invite you all back next week, next Tuesday. A very interesting conversation coming your way with Vern Roof. He is the fire commissioner at Northside Fire District. They've got forums coming up. They've got information. They've got all kinds of information to keep us safe this summer. And we're going to take a look at all of that with Vernon Roof. So come on, find out what's happening, stay informed. Until next Tuesday, this is Barbara saying take care and God bless you.